Sunlight crests the Earth's surface. As rays of light shoot up from the continents, the planet spins into view, with a word across it: Universal. A web address appears: www.universalstudios.com. The text vanishes and the lights fade. The Earth turns to reveal China. A man in lamellar armor rides a horse through a military encampment settled among huge stone mounds.
Long ago, a mythic battle between good and evil played out in ancient China. The country was torn by civil war, with many kingdoms struggling for land and power. But one king had a ruthless ambition to make himself emperor by the sword.
The writer delivers a scroll. Wearing a studded breastplate, his jet black hair tied in a high ponytail, Emperor Han stands with his head minister, Li Zhao, and his head of the military, General Ming Gao. Li Zhao hands the scroll to the emperor. A subtitle. Leave me. Prepare for war.
The other rulers hired assassins to kill the king before he could conquer them all.
A knife slices through the canvas of the emperor's tent. Two men steal over to Emperor Han's bed, where he lies with his eyes closed, a sword resting at his feet. He kicks it into the air. He catches it, plunges it into one of the assassins, and skewers the other with a dagger. A third assassin leaps from a high beam, and they engage in close combat. Han kicks the assassin through a screen, but he springs to his feet and attacks. Han forces the dagger towards his attacker's chest. Soldiers rush in as Han withdraws the dagger. A subtitle. Stop! I am not harmed. The assassin takes a knife from his sleeve. Han dispatches him. A subtitle. We attack tonight. Flaming buildings stand in silhouette against the night sky. Han watches from astride a horse as his soldiers destroy a village.
Kingdom by kingdom, his army swept away everything in its path, and anyone who resisted met a terrible fate.
Men are beheaded.
The country was his. He was now emperor of all under heaven. He enslaved his conquered enemies and forced them to build his great wall. When they were dead or useless, he had them buried beneath it.
Bodies are thrown into the wide trench, and the slaves shovel soil over them. The construction site seethes with activity. A huge stone block is winched into place. Armed with a pike, a soldier stands atop a crenulated tower. Behind him, the Great Wall of China snakes into the distant mountains. Han approaches five robed elders who stand around a golden table in a mausoleum.
The emperor's mystics taught him mastery over the five elements: fire, water, earth, wood, and metal. His power seemed without limit.
A fireball hovers between his hands.
He was master of millions, but like the lowliest peasant, he could not stop growing old.
A subtitle. I have too much to do for one lifetime.
He needed to defeat his last enemy, death itself.
Heavy gates open. A party of riders streams out with standards fluttering on poles.
One day, news came of a powerful witch who was rumored to know the secret to eternal life. He ordered General Ming, his oldest friend and trusted ally, to find her.
A small bridge leads to a cluster of quaint buildings set in rocky mountains. Ming enters a laboratory where potions bubble. A beautiful woman draws a dagger on him.
The witch was named Zi Yuan, and she was nothing like the general expected.
He bows, wearing a red cape and flanked by women in black robes. Zi Yuan approaches Han's throne. A subtitle. Your Majesty. She and the women bow. The emperor stands. A subtitle. Rise Up. A subtitle. I do not possess the secret of immortality, my lord, but I know where to find it. A subtitle.
Jiangjun.
General. No man is to touch her. She is mine. Ming and Ziyuan gallop across a barren landscape.
On the western border stood the monastery of Tefan. There was housed the greatest library in the ancient world, and Ziyuan was sure the secret to eternal life was here.
She takes a wooden scroll from a shelf in the library and hands it to Ming. As their hands touch, they pause to gaze at each other. Ziyuan then retrieves a long cylinder from the shelf. In it is a carved object with a cross-section shaped like an X. Ming studies a pattern on the table, a subtitle. This is a key. He inserts the carved object through a matching cross on the table. The tabletop parts to present a weighty book.
It was the long-lost Oracle Bones, a collection of all the mystical secrets of the ancient world. The Emperor's answer was here, along with other magic beyond imagining.
Ming and Ziyuan kiss on a bed. Li Zhao spies on them. Ziyuan stands before the Emperor, the book laid in front of her. A subtitle.
Zhan Shenyue.
You have served me well. I will grant you anything you desire. A subtitle. I want to spend my life with General Ming. A subtitle. Of course.
Yeah.
Read. She reads from the pages of bound bone fragments. Han stands in a trance with his back to her.
She cast the spell in Sanskrit, an ancient language that the Emperor did not understand.
A sudden wind blows out candles. A subtitle. I feel your spell working. I am now immortal. Come, I want to show you something. He leads her out onto a balcony overlooking a courtyard where soldiers surround Ming. They part to reveal long chains binding his arms and legs to the saddles of 8 horses. A subtitle. Become my queen, and I will let him live. Do what he says. Save yourself. Ziyuan turns to the Emperor. You will never keep your word. You are right. Han gestures to his soldiers and the horses bolt, wrenching each of Ming's limbs in different directions. Han draws a gilded dagger and plunges it into Ziyuan's side. Now join General Ming in hell. Ziyuan staggers back into the throne room. Han squints as a thin brown substance leaks from his eyes. He touches his cheek, then regards his fingers nervously. He strides inside. What did you do to me? I cursed you and your army. Ziyuan leaves with the Oracle Bones. Han splutters as thick slurry issues from his eyes and bubbles up from inside his armor, engulfing him. Tiny fireballs bombard him and set him alight. Surround the palace! The Emperor is in trouble! Inside, the flaming Emperor writhes in agony. In the courtyard, his soldiers wipe brown liquid from their cheeks. The Emperor freezes and the flames vanish. He's now a clay statue.
The curse must never be lifted, or the Emperor will rise again to enslave all of mankind. On that dark day, there will be nothing and no one to save us.
Ziyuan mounts a white horse and gallops past flaming soldiers. A sand dune rises to consume a tall stone statue of the Emperor. A title appears, The Mummy, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Text appears. Oxfordshire, England, 1946. A man wearing a suit consults a book on fly fishing.
1 o'clock. o'clock?
He practices casting.
10 o'clock. 1 o'clock. 10 o'clock. 1 o'clock. And this is something for grown men to do.
He snags his neck on the hook.
Ah! Ah!
He tugs the hook, stretching the skin of his neck. He casts again. He lies along a high tree branch and reaches for the hook, which is caught on the bark. The branch gives way. Disheveled and muddy, he grabs a pistol.
Bite on this.
He strides into shallow water and fires at the fish. Driving a boxy convertible and dabbing his wounded neck, he motors past a fountain and through manicured grounds to a palatial country mansion. He enters the house.
Vivian, home!
Mrs. O'Connell is at her book reading, sir. She'll be home for dinner.
Oh, right. Well, that's great, because we're having fish.
He hands the butler a wicker hamper.
You didn't think I'd catch anything, did you?
I had the utmost confidence, sir.
He enters a walk-in closet.
There's a hook in your neck, sir. Shall I fetch the wire cutters?
He stares wistfully at an old French Foreign Legion uniform. He dusts it off. In a London bookshop, a woman reads her book, The Mummy Returns.
Now safely aboard the airship, with the mummy finally vanquished, Dash swept Scarlet into his arms.
Oh God, Scarlet, I thought I'd lost you.
For a moment there, you did.
Bathed in rays of golden sunlight, our heroes sealed their reunion with a kiss of timeless passion. Their love deeper and truer than ever.
She closes the book. A woman in the audience stands up.
Mrs. O'Connell, we're all dying to know. Is the Scarlet O'Keefe character really based on you?
Honestly, I can say she's a completely different person.
Any more questions?
Mrs. O'Connell,
Mrs. O'Connell, Mrs. O'Connell, is your life today as exciting as it was before the war?
Evelyn's smile falters.
I wish my life were that exciting now.
Will there be another book in the series?
Do you believe in happy endings?
Evelyn sits at the head of a long dining table.
Isn't this blissful? Dinner at home?
Every night.
Every night.
Here's to retirement.
May we stay this happy forever.
Evelyn and husband Rick O'Connell clink wine glasses, drain them, then smile at each other. Rick winks. Evelyn lays a table napkin across her lap as Rick takes a seat at the table.
Still no letter from Alex. I've sent him 3 in the last month.
Yeah, well, what do you expect? The only time we ever hear from that kid is when he's getting kicked out of college or he needs more money.
I'm sure he's just buried in his studies.
He looks unconvinced. Evelyn looks away. Rick raises his eyebrows.
So how did your book reading go?
Oh, fine. Thank you. Until they asked me when would there be another mummy adventure.
Yeah, but you did promise the publisher a third book.
I know, but I spend my nights staring at a blank page completely blocked.
We could skip dinner and I could attempt to inspire you upstairs.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, darling. But I'm going to sit at that typewriter until something exciting comes out.
Dinner is served.
Thank you. Oh, trout. How lovely.
The butler glances at Rick, then leaves.
I'm so happy you found a hobby that doesn't involve guns.
She tries it. She removes a bullet from her mouth. Ningxia Province, China, on a dusty plain, diggers work to excavate the enormous stone statue of the emperor. 20-something Alex O'Connell inspects a map in a journal. He speaks to workers. Don't worry, we'll find the entrance today. Li Tong, what's for lunch? Noodle soup. Very good. Alex looks through binoculars. 3 men approach on horseback.
Good. Wilson's back.
To Wilson.
You're a couple days late, Professor. I was beginning to think you were running into bandits.
Oh, my dear fellow, thank you for the concern.
You thirsty?
Oh, yes, please.
Wilson drinks from Alex's canteen.
You know, when I saw you standing up there, I thought I was looking at your father. You really are Rick O'Connell's son.
Yeah, well, hopefully after today, you'll be known as Alex O'Connell's father.
Oh, what a powerful face. When I told my colleagues at the museum that you had discovered the Colossus, they were thrilled. Yes, however...
I know. When am I going to get in that tomb?
Don't let the buggers get you down. It was you that discovered the Bembridge Journal, and with it, you'll discover the Emperor. I have complete faith in you, Alex.
Thank you, Professor. Thanks for believing in me.
We found it. We found the door. In England, Evelyn sits at a desk. Evelyn considers.
Vile, Mummy?
She shakes her head.
No. Curse, Mummy.
Stiff is Mummy.
Malignant, Mummy.
She wields a sword expertly, then leaps onto her desk and skids across it.
Prepare to die.
The butler enters. Sliced by Evelyn's blade, 5 lit candles topple from a candelabra. The butler leaves.
Rick? Darling, where are you?
Evelyn enters the sitting room where Rick sits with his back to her by the window. She undoes her robe, grips the mantle, and looks over her shoulder.
I'm ready to be inspired.
She shrugs off her robe, revealing a silk nightdress.
Do you remember the time the mummy had me tied down? And you came to save me, and you cut... No, you tore open the ropes is what you did. Just as he was about to plunge his...
Rick's asleep.
Oh, rats.
She pinches Rick's nose. In China, an explosion rocks the dig site. A dust cloud fills a trench as the workers hit the deck. Flashlight beams cut through the settling dust as Alex's team enter a chamber containing ancient-looking pillars and steps, half covered with dust and sand.
Watch out!
Alex dives on Wilson as 2 spike devices swing down from the roof and crash into each other.
Ember didn't want any house guests.
Yeah. A subtitle. Stay together. Alex leads them past statues of dragons. Then he and Wilson pull out pistols. They point their guns at a pillar, behind which a clothed arm is jutting out. Alex investigates. It's a decayed body with the initial CB embroidered onto the shirt.
Bembridge.
He removes the hat, the rotten head falls off.
He went searching for this tomb 70 years ago and left him like this as a warning.
Unfortunately, this is not the dead man that's gonna make us famous. Let's keep moving.
Wilson heads down the steps, treading on a loose stone which opens up holes in the roof. Sand cascades through the holes. As more holes open up in the distance, light is cast on a vast army of motionless terracotta soldiers. Some soldiers hold spears, others bear crossbows. Alex's team head down towards the statues, some of which hold tall pikes. Wilson stand between 2 stone pillars and look out over the vast underground chamber, filled with row upon row of the detailed statues. As the team head down into the chamber, they gawk at the life-size statues in awe. Each figure has its own unique facial features. As one of the team passes the dusty terracotta soldiers, he steps on a trick floorboard and stops. Steam shoots up, enveloping him.
Chua!
Alex hurries over to a screaming, scalded Chua, who drops to his knees and dies. Crossbows lurch mechanically from nearby walls. arrows shoot from the dragon's heads connected to the bows. Alex leaves Chuwa as arrows rain down around him. Wilson and the diggers flee. As multiple arrows skewer a digger, Alex ducks to avoid a spinning metal disc that slices through the air, carving off the head of a statue. Wilson evades the disc, which cuts down another digger. Alex spots Chuwa's corpse and tries to reach it. Wilson stops him.
Alex, stay there! Come on. This kind of danger goes to the territory. You know that better than anyone. Alex!
He grips Alex's arms.
Yes. Yeah. All right, good job.
They walk towards a round stone plinth amongst the terracotta army.
All the warriors are facing it to this point. As if awaiting an order from the Emperor.
Well, then where is he? Listen, you don't think some bloody grave robber's beaten us to the prize, do you?
No, he's still here. See, this is a feng shui compass.
Alex pours water from his canteen into a compass at the center of the plinth, then checks his own pocket compass.
Okay, now, this. Okay, this is true north. But the feng shui compass is set in the opposite direction. All right, we need to realign it.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Together, they spin the edge of the round plinth, then stand back. The floor around the compass drops and splits down the middle of the plinth. Alex drops into a pit below and bangs his back. Wilson scrambles off the platform. Alex lifts his head and spots rats amongst dusty human skeletons.
Alex, speak to me. You all right? Alex,
fire!
Tell me, have we found the Emperor?
Alex shines his flashlight onto statues of horses.
Alex!
Behind the horses is a statue of the Emperor at the reins. Alex beams.
What is it?
It's having the greatest fight since King Tut!
A leg snaps down onto Wilson's neck in the pit.
If he's awakened, all mortals should despair.
It's definitely him!
Spotting skeletons around him.
Even Eddie's concubines are buried alive with him. Selfish bastard.
Hey, Professor Wilson, you want to come down and take a look? Are you, so overwhelmed you can't talk?
A masked guard creeps up behind Alex, who dodges and draws his gun. The guard takes Alex's gun away and draws a knife. Alex counters with punches, then grabs his gun off the floor. The guard scrambles away over the Emperor's stone sarcophagus as Alex opens fire, cutting a rope connected to counterweights, which begin to drop as the pit floor rises.
Wilson!
Alex scans around as the platform he's on continues to rise. The guard flying kicks Alex to the floor, then leaps onto him and swipes with the long knife, just missing Alex. The guard holds Alex's head beneath one of the slowly descending counterweights. Alex pulls off the guard's mask, revealing a beautiful woman. The counterweight heads inexorably towards the struggling Alex. He grabs a stone urn and jams it between the platform and the counterweight, which stops moving. Alex kicks the guard away as the weight pushes the urn through the wooden platform. The pair of them square up. Wilson fires at the guard from above. She makes a break for it and scales the wall of the pit, then runs off between the statues in the chamber above. The Emperor's horse-drawn carriage rises to the same level and stops in place amongst the other figures.
Let's go, Professor. We've got a lot of work to do.
30-something man, Benjamin Fry, arrives at the O'Connell's mansion on a misty morning.
First of all, I'd just like to say that the Foreign Office appreciates all that you did during the war.
But I've been sent to offer you one last assignment.
I'm afraid we've retired from the espionage game, haven't we, dear?
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. We've finished. Not at all. Completely done.
You're just out of curiosity, what is the mission anyway?
We need you to courier this to Shanghai.
Nice piece of ice.
It's the Eye of Shangri-La. If you believe the legend, it points the way to the Pool of Eternal Life.
It was smuggled out of China in 1940. Now the government would like to return it to the Shanghai Museum as a sign of good faith to the Chinese people. And with your expertise in the field, we naturally thought of you.
Oh, we'd be so flattered. Rick and I, we made a promise to each other after the war that we would settle down.
That's right. Yeah, we did, didn't we?
I see. Well, I must admit I am a little disappointed. Post-war China is very dangerous. There are a lot of factions that would love to get their hands on the Eye of Shangri-La. In lesser hands, the Eye could be lost forever.
We couldn't let that happen, could we?
No, that could be bad for the world.
The world, terrible.
Yeah. You know, she has a brother who lives in Shanghai.
Jonathan!
Yes, he owns a nightclub, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you have been meaning to visit. We could drop in and surprise
him. Say hello.
Why not?
Does this mean we can count on you one last time?
Rick puts his arm around Evelyn. Text appears. Shanghai, China. Chinese New Year, 1947. Fireworks explode in the night sky above the city's grand buildings. A black car drives slowly through crowds of well-dressed people outside Imhotep's nightclub. Inside on stage, a swing band accompanies dancing girls in Egyptian-style costumes. Guests enjoy waiter service and champagne. A man in a blue silk jacket to an elderly woman.
Here's to you, princess. And in the tent. May the bugger actually stay dead. Ding dong.
Alex heads downstairs into the club wearing a dapper suit.
Hi, can you buy a drink for me?
Excuse me. Alex, you're back again. Come here, Alex, let me get you a drink. Small special for Papa, the Explorer.
Make that two. Sorry, Uncle John, but I got a better offer.
No, Alex, no, look. Listen, how can I... Come in. To put it in archaeological terms, that's a tomb in which many pharaohs have lain. Now listen, just think about me for a moment, all right? Your discovery will go public in a few days, and your parents are sure to find out. They're not going to be happy you've dropped out of school.
Will you relax, Uncle John? Okay, I'm here. They're a long way away. Excuse me, okay? I have some excavation to do.
As Alex goes in search of the brunette that greeted him, Rick and Evelyn arrive and spot Uncle John. Jonathan scans around frantically, then beams with open arms.
You're in China, baby! Rick, what are you? You're so... I didn't even...
Brother,
I had no idea he was here.
Who's here?
Who?
Alex flies backwards through double doors and crashes onto a table. He and Rick see each other.
Every man in the back!
God? Alex!
I don't know what to do!
As Rick leaps over a low wall to get to him, Evelyn hits Jonathan. An older man raises his fist to Alex.
Let's go get Loverboy.
I'm gonna kill you, kid!
Rick catches it.
Not so fast, that's my kid.
He looks him over.
Mad Dog McGuire?
Ricochet O'Connell.
Hey!
Yeah. Alex, just a little family get together, folks. Come on, let's get back to having a good time. Music!
How long has it been?
Egypt, 23, French Foreign Legion.
This guy could land a plane on anything.
Ricochet, he had his hands all over me, girl. Now, son or no son, I gotta give him a beat.
Get out of the way, Dad. That's it. As much as I'd really like you to teach him a valuable lesson.
His mother would be upset, very upset. You have a lot of explaining.
Wife now, the kid, things are a little bit different. I'm sure you understand.
Yeah.
Let me make it up to you.
Sorry. I'm just surprised to see you here, that's
all.
Who's
gonna pay for all this damage?
All right.
I'm not here 5 minutes, and I'm already pulling your fanny out of the fire. You're going back to college.
How do you think this is going to work, Dad? You two show up, tell me what to do?
No. Well, we should sit down and discuss this like a family.
No offense, Mom, but we haven't been a family in a long time.
Hey, don't you turn your back on me. Alex!
Alex, come here.
Alex stalks away.
Can you?
Evelyn glares.
Don't look at me like that. Oh.
They talk on the roof of the club by a neon billboard.
It's all your fault.
My fault?
You're the one that's always smothering him. You couldn't leave him alone for 5 minutes without wiping his nose.
Perhaps I was overcompensating for the fact that you never took an interest in his life.
His life was my top priority. How many times did I save that kid from breaking his neck?
A little warmth and encouragement would have been nice.
I'm his father. It's implied.
Evelyn shakes her head.
We've spent our entire lives searching for priceless artifacts, and the one thing that's most precious to us we've lost. We can't let Alex become some stranger pictures on our mantle.
Can't let that happen.
No, we can't.
How are we gonna fix this?
We need to do it together.
Text appears. Paramilitary outpost, Western China. Day. A jeep drives from a plane to a compound. The jeep enters the compound and drives past soldiers, flak cannons, and tents. A Chinese general enters a building within the compound. A female lieutenant salutes the middle-aged general, who returns the salute, then removes his hat and observes rolled-up military plans on the table. She approaches him. The O'Connells are in Shanghai. Do they have the eye of Shangri-La? Our spy says they do. Good. Assemble the troops. Yes, sir. Outside, he faces the troops. Soldiers, soon all our training and sacrifice will bear great fruit. It is my dream to raise our emperor from his tomb. Only he can bring order out of this chaos. Soldiers, tonight our great battle begins. Shanghai. Revelers dance in the streets. The O'Connell's car is stuck in the celebrations.
No, this might have been faster if we took a rickshaw.
It's Chinese New Year. Don't you just love this country? They have so many extra little holidays, and drinking is mandatory.
I can't believe we get to see your first big discovery. It's so exciting.
Well, after last night, I'm surprised you want to see it at all.
Listen, I'll pick you up in about an hour.
You're not coming?
No, I've seen enough mummies to last a lifetime.
Jonathan parks up inside the gates of Shanghai Museum. The statue of the emperor at the reins of the horse-drawn carriage, bearing his sarcophagus, resides in the main hall.
There he is.
Oh, my darling. Very impressive. When do you get to open the sarcophagus?
Well, after the official red tape has been cut.
The words rest in peace mean anything to you two?
So, Mom, why don't you stick around for the next few days and we can open it together?
I'd like that very much. Thanks.
Alex, why don't you go and tell Professor Wilson that we're here? And,
no problem.
Great.
Oh, just don't wake the big guy up while I'm gone.
Rick crosses his heart. Evelyn eyes Rick.
Hey, Alex. This is all really, really big stuff.
Rick gives a lame thumbs up.
Whatever you say, Dad.
As Alex heads off with a smile, Evelyn rolls her eyes at Rick. Alex wanders along a corridor. The beautiful Chinese guard from the Emperor's tomb ducks into the shadows and draws a knife. She watches Alex pass, then nips out of the shadows and heads down the corridor in the opposite direction. Alex turns and glimpses the fleeing guard in the main hall. As Rick idly tosses the Eye of Shangri-La around, he watches Evelyn as she inspects one of the horses. She turns and frowns.
What?
You just have a certain glow about you this evening I haven't seen in a long time.
He sidles over to her.
Guess mommy's bring out the best in me.
Take a wrong turn at Kyra. Sorry to interrupt.
Roger.
Professor Roger Wilson.
Oh, Rick.
You know, when Alex told me that you had gone legit, I just couldn't believe my ears. Well, now I just pillage tombs in the name of preservation.
Congratulations on your latest discovery.
Alex deserves all the credit. He's one hell of a kid.
He's like the son I never had.
And he's the only one we've got. So the next time you send him on one of your field trips, you give us the heads up first?
Yes, yes, of course. And now I believe you have something that belongs to us.
What's that?
Oh, you mean this?
Rick throws, then catches the eye of Shangri-La.
I'm sorry. Whoa! Go ahead. All yours. Raj.
I knew I could rely on you too.
I'm afraid your work is not done yet, Mr. and Mrs. O'Connell.
I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine.
He aims a gun.
General Yang.
Roger!
Well, he is the man who financed Alex's dig. We're in this together. Cheek by jowl, General.
Yang takes the eye.
Search him.
Wilson takes Rick's gun.
No, the eye belongs to the Chinese people. You can't do this.
So, Raj.
You snake.
How much did, is it Yin and Yang pay you?
Enough to pull strings at the Foreign Office. Make sure that it was you two who delivered the eye. Turn round.
The eye contains the elixir from the pool of eternal life. I need you to open it, Mrs. O'Connell.
No. You're going to use it to wake the Emperor, aren't you?
And his terracotta army. At least, that's the general idea.
Raising an army of mummies is insane. Listen, Yang.
Yang strikes Rick. Evelyn pulls a knife, but Yang's lieutenant restrains her.
Weezy! Time to open the sarcophagus. Move.
Wilson shoves Rick away at gunpoint. Yang holds up the eye.
Read the inscription. Now!
Yang threatens Evelyn with a gun as he thrusts the eye towards her. The inscription is written in Chinese on a small disc.
Ancient Chinese isn't my forte.
Here's some encouragement. Wilson!
I'll do it!
No, Evie. Don't do it. They're just going to kill me anyway.
Evelyn shrugs off the Lieutenant Choi and glares at Yang.
The inscription says that only a drop of blood from a person of pure heart can open the eye.
Your husband was right.
Yang aims at Rick. Evelyn grabs Yang's arm and pulls it down. She stands before Yang, his gun pointed towards her.
Only the pure of heart will sacrifice themselves for the one they love.
Open it.
Rick uses a crowbar on the lid. Alex sees the guard watching.
You never called after our last date.
I don't have time for games, Alex.
You know my name, but I don't know yours.
It's Lin.
You want to explain to me why you tried to kill me?
We could do that, or we could save your parents.
Alex spots Wilson pointing his gun at Rick.
Wilson, you son of a bitch.
Choi approaches Evelyn, eyeballs her, then grabs her arm. Choi rolls Evelyn's long white glove down, then yanks it off. Choi grips Evelyn's arm, then pulls a sharp knife. Evelyn punches Choi, and the pair struggle. Rick watches with gritted teeth as Choi gains the upper hand, cuts Evelyn's finger, then directs the dripping blood towards the eye. The blood drips through the curving golden lattice around the eye, which glows red in Yang's hand. The lattice comes to life and changes shape. It becomes miniature snakes that slither away over Yang's gloves. The eye transforms into a glittering ice blue crystal, which opens into a sharp flower-shaped arrangement. Wilson looks edgy.
Get on with it, O'Connell.
As Rick pries the lid from the sarcophagus, Alex and Lin creep onto the balcony. Rick pushes the stone lid to the floor. Yang approaches with the eye.
Once this touches him, the Emperor will rise to rule again. Finish him off.
Alex and Lin swing into the hall on ropes, knocking Wilson and Yang over. As Yang falls, the eye strikes the Emperor's statue, which absorbs some glittering liquid. Rick dives onto the floor, slides, then grabs two pistols and takes aim. As Evelyn fights Choi, Lin cartwheels into the Emperor's sarcophagus and stabs the mummified remains through the chest. Evelyn manipulates her flowing gown and throws Choi. Choi smashes into crates. Alex overpowers Wilson, kicks the gun from his hand, and catches it. He aims at Wilson.
Alex, please!
Lin frowns as she examines the mummy's necklace.
It's not him. This is a eunuch. It's a decoy!
Where the hell's the Emperor?
The face on the Emperor's statue breaks open. Two hands unfurl within. The eyes on the Emperor's horses blink, then glow a fiery orange color. The horse's legs begin to move. Their hooves scrape the marble floor. Lin stands frowning. Rick aims at the horses. One rears. The Emperor's statue explodes in a shower of dust. The Emperor Han stands arms aloft amidst the thinning dust cloud, then snaps his arms to his sides. Rick kicks a gun to Evelyn. An orange glow shines through Han's dusty, cracking skin.
Here we go again.
Evelyn and Rick open fire. Han breathes fire from his mouth, knocking Rick backwards. Yang fires at Rick, then turns to Han. I live to serve you, my lord. I can help you become immortal. If you lie to me, you will burn. The dusty terracotta skin that was shot from Han's face reforms over the monstrous mess beneath in a blazing fireball. Han whips the horses as Yang climbs onto the carriage. Wilson tries to climb on.
Wait! Wait! Get away from me! I'm coming with you!
Han knocks Wilson's head off. Rick fires from behind a table. As Rick takes cover and Evelyn shoots, Yang returns fire. Han sets the carriage rolling, then Alex and Lin slide beneath it and grab hold. The carriage bursts through the museum's glass doors, crashes through its gates, and rides off through the streets of Shanghai.
Watch out!
Lin and Alex hang on. The carriage runs over a bicycle. On the museum steps.
Gotta put this mummy down fast! The longer we wait, the stronger they get! Open the gates! Open the gates!
A fireworks truck passes. Rick stops it.
There's a mummy on the loose! You wanna drive?
Why not?
God, I love a woman who can drive a truck.
Hey, pal, I'm really sorry, but you want Happy New Year? Hey, honey!
Rick tosses banknotes at the disgruntled driver outside the nightclub. Jonathan gawks and dives across his car's hood as Han's carriage crashes past. Jonathan stumbles around, eyeing his ripped open Rolls Royce.
No!
Evelyn pulls up in the truck.
Jonathan, get in the back!
Sorry about the Rolls.
You guys are like mummy magnets!
We have to turn you around!
Okay!
Beneath Han's speeding carriage, Lin reaches for a hanging strap. Evelyn drives the truck.
Excuse me!
On the back, Jonathan holds a firecracker.
Hey, we could use this!
Give me that!
Rick finds a firecracker cannon.
Oh yeah, that's a better idea!
Size counts!
Stop mucking about and getting away!
Rick aims the enormous cannon as Jonathan lights the fuse. It streaks towards Han's carriage in front. Then Han jumps and kicks it towards an oncoming tram. An explosion lifts the tram. Passengers flee as Han's carriage rolls through the debris. Jonathan's butt is alight.
Let me get him!
Fire!
What? Again?
Your ass is on fire! Oh,
my ass!
Hold down!
Rick, my ass is on fire!
Put me out!
Hold me out, Rick! Spike my ass! Spike my ass!
All right, here I come!
Still connected by the foot, Alex drops to the road.
Give me a hand!
He's dragged along behind the carriage, then grabs Lin's hand and hauls himself up. Evelyn speeds through a market square.
Yes! Let it go!
Taking a shortcut!
Give
Rick and Jonathan hug each other as the truck slams through a brick wall and pulls out in front of Han's carriage.
I told you it was a shortcut!
Quiet! Now he's chasing us!
Rick and Yang exchange fire. Han turns to Yang. Rick gives Evelyn bullets.
Give me your hand. Here, you're gonna need these. Now wait up for me.
Where are you going?
Rick leaps onto one of Han's horses. Jonathan peers through the shattered window behind Evelyn.
Where's Rick?
Where do you think?
One of Rick's bullets hits near Yang. Rick drops his gun. He mounts the horse properly and cuts its reins. He spots Alex and Lin on the back of the carriage.
Give me your hand and get on this horse! Get back, Dad! Alexander, Rupert, O'Connell, you get on the back of this horse! This is it!
His eyes glowing, Han looks at Rick's horse, and it begins to thrash around. Rick ducks beneath a low crane, which takes the horse's head off. The horse is red hot inside. Evelyn pulls Jonathan inside.
You've got to go back and help Rick.
Rick, here they come!
Han shoots flame at the fireworks in the back of the truck.
I'll go after the Emperor.
Trust me, I got a little more experience with mummies.
And I have the only weapon that can kill him.
Okay, I'll cover you. Let's go!
Alex opens fire as Lin creeps up behind Han. Yang shoots Lin. Han rips off his clay face and throws it at Alex. Alex falls off the back of the carriage, grabs a trailing chain, and hangs on as the carriage powers through the streets. He pulls himself up, and Lin helps him climb on board. He looks shocked.
Thought you were dead!
He missed!
Yang disconnects the sarcophagus carriage. Alex and Lin are thrown into the open sarcophagus as the carriage tips onto its front. With a gesture, Han freezes the road surface. The carriage spins and sheds the sarcophagus. The sarcophagus crashes through railings with Alex and Lin on it. Rick leaps from the headless horse and grips an overhead banner. The sarcophagus sails beneath. The fireworks ignite on board the truck. Evelyn and Jonathan leap from the sparking cab as the carriage smacks into the truck, causing an explosion. On Han's carriage, Yang picks up the Eye of Shangri-La. Fireworks continue to rocket from the burning truck. The disheveled gang pulls up in a taxi outside the nightclub. Jonathan falls out. Rick hauls him to his feet.
Thanks, Rick. Could you get the cab?
Does it look like I have a wallet?
In the empty club, Jonathan slams a whiskey glass and a jug of ice on the bar, then pours a large measure. Rick knocks back the drink. Rick tips the ice into a napkin to make an ice pack, which he holds against his groin. Jonathan drinks from the bottle.
You know, I would have killed the Emperor if you two hadn't blown my cover. I had everything under control.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we were thinking.
Yeah, well, good going. You raised another mummy.
And this bugger's got superpowers.
He's got control over fire, water, metal, and who knows what else.
And you dug him up anyway.
Hey, well, you're not going to pin this one on me, okay, Dad?
Oh, stop it, you two. No one's to blame here. Wilson manipulated all of us.
Mm-hmm, that's true. I apologize for my parents. But I thought we worked really well together.
Except we fail.
Evelyn approaches Lin.
I'm sorry, we haven't been properly introduced. Who are you exactly?
My name is Lin. My family has watched over the Emperor's tomb for centuries. The Emperor cannot be killed unless he is stabbed through the heart with this. My mother put a curse on it long ago.
Lin holds up the dagger.
Mm-hmm. Well, a quick family meeting, Alex.
To one side.
Sit.
Down.
Jonathan listens.
What do you really know about this girl?
Well, not much. But after our help tonight, I'm willing to go in a little faith.
Time is running out.
You don't really believe in the concept of personal space, do you?
If the Emperor reaches Shangri-La and drinks from the pool of eternal life, he will raise his army and no one will be safe.
Much as I'd like to stay this boyishly handsome forever, Shangri-La is a crock.
Yeah, but that's what you used to say about mummies too, John. You did pretty well, Arthur.
Good point.
The gateway to Shangri-La lies in a mountain pass, high in the Himalayas. Beyond it is a golden tower. Once the diamond is placed at the top, it will point the way to Shangri-La. Yang still has the diamond, and that's where he and the Emperor will go.
She's right. All the legends of the Eye mention the gateway.
I like her, Alex. She knows what's what.
Now, just say that we were to believe you. Could you guide us there?
Yes, I have been there once. I remember the way.
Rick and Alex share a look.
Himalayas, we're going to need a plane.
I know just a mad dog for the job.
Over the Himalayas with Mad Dog McGuire.
Well, any self-respecting pilot would land on the valley floor, but I don't have any self-respect, so I'll put you down halfway up the mountain.
That should give us a good advantage.
Of course, I can't guarantee any of us a lift.
Great!
Beside Jonathan, a yak lazily chews straw.
I'll tell you to fasten your seatbelts, but it was too cheap to buy any.
Why am I laughing?
Here we go!
He takes the plane into a steep dive, and the team are thrown back in their seats. Jonathan opens a sick bag. The yak looks nauseous. Jonathan sticks the bag under its mouth. The plane grazes the mountain, sending up clouds of snow. They roll down a steep incline and break at the edge of a sheer drop. The tail lifts, and they teeter precariously on the brink.
No, nobody move!
The tail comes to rest. The propellers spin to a halt. Mad Dog glances back over his shoulder. Jonathan is covered in goo.
What is that god-awful smell?
Yacked!
At Yang's training camp, the Emperor looks at a world map. Welcome to the modern world, my lord. Why did you raise me? I love this land. Only you can lead us back to greatness. What is in it for you? I want to serve as your general. The last general I trusted betrayed me. I will not make that mistake. Han's terracotta face is shattered, revealing his corpse-like features. I cannot escape this curse until I am immortal, General. Yang bows. I understand, my lord. We need to find the pool of eternal life. This will point the way. Yang holds the diamond in front of Han. Han's face glows a fiery red as his terracotta skin regenerates. Evelyn, Rick, Alex, Jonathan, and Lin ascend a snowy trail through the mountains on foot. The yak lugs their supplies. In his plane, McGuire cooks a stir-fry on a camping stove.
You see, it's Mr. McGuire come to court your sister, Kate.
He drinks liquor.
Well, he owns the farm.
Emptying some into his frying pan, McGuire looks up with a start. He stands up and peers out through binoculars. He sees another small plane land on a flat, snowy stretch below.
Delta Tango Alpha to Ricochet. Come in, Ricochet.
Rick answers his radio.
Delta Tango Alpha, this is Ricochet. Go ahead, Mad Dog.
Yeah, you know that Yang fella you told me to keep my eye out for?
He's just showing up.
Ricochet out. Thanks, Mad Dog. It's us, people. Let's go! Jonathan, wake up!
Reclining, Jonathan snaps to. 20 or so figures clamber up a snowy pass between mountains. Rick and the team hike up a narrow trail.
Pull the line!
Rick consults a map as the others stare ahead.
Good. We're a little more than halfway. We're gonna camp up there for the night.
Rick points upwards to an abandoned ramshackle camp. Night, snow falls. Lin sits by a campfire beneath a sloping shelter. Alex and Evelyn climb stone steps, carrying firewood.
Lin says if we leave at first light,
We'll reach the gateway by noon.
Did she happen to mention how she knows so much about the gateway?
No, not really. Kind of mysterious.
She certainly managed to enchant you.
Alex looks disgruntled.
Come on, Alex. You obviously like her.
He walks over to her.
Mom, the thin mountain air, clearly messing with your head.
He taps his head.
Whatever secret she's hiding, I just don't want to see you get hurt.
I appreciate that, but, you know, I've had my fair share of experience with the opposite sex.
Really?
His smile fades.
How many experiences are we talking about?
You shouldn't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to, okay, Mom?
Right.
Hey, Mom. Sorry I blamed you guys for raising the Emperor.
Alex turns and trudges off down the steps. He ducks beneath the shelter and squats beside Lynn. Warming his hands, he looks at her and smiles.
What's so funny?
My mother is under the impression there's something between us.
I hope nothing romantic.
She turns her back and makes her bed.
Yeah, well, I told her there was no chance of that. We're complete opposites, you and me, right? You guard tombs, I raid them. You like ancient knives, I'm into guns. Those are some pretty insurmountable odds.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Now that we've cleared that up, we can focus on taking down the Emperor.
I agree totally.
She stands up in a huff.
Besides, you're not my type.
He smirks.
Of course not. You don't like a woman who can knock you on your backside.
Expression is kick my ass. For the record, you didn't.
Jonathan's with the yak.
It's not easy being me, you know. Then again, I don't suppose it's easy being you, is it, Geraldine, old girl? If I'd met a girl like you, Geraldine, you know, hard-working, you don't say much. We're a little bit hairy, but I don't mind that.
Day, a mountain range rears up through white clouds. The team trudge up a rocky incline. They follow a snaking path towards a sheer drop spanned by a drooping rope bridge, beyond which is a stone temple.
The gateway of Shangri-La.
Evelyn and Lynn look on with broad smiles, the thick fur lining of their hoods blown about by the wind.
Go, girl! Go! Woo. Free! Go, Geraldine! Live free!
The yak toddles off. Jonathan crosses the rope bridge to join the others. By the temple, Alex opens a huge chest filled with firearms.
What did you do now, rob an armory?
A pistol.
Have you ever seen a Walther P-38?
It's pretty anemic compared to the Peacekeeper.
Well, it's not a bad size, Dad. It's a bad stamina.
You want power? I give you Thompson submachine gun. 50 rounds a drum, 25 a mag.
Tommy's good, Dad, but the cocking mechanism always jams. Here, check out the Russian PPS personal assault weapon. Now this is the future right here.
You know, it's experience that wins the day. It's not all about firepower.
Boys, if I may, do we have a plan for the Emperor?
Yeah, we're gonna hit him high, hard, and fast and smash him like a main phase.
And if that doesn't work?
We go to Plan B. Plan B, you go upstairs, you blow up that gold tower thing. You let it up, we blow the guy sky high.
Me?
You.
Dad.
What?
So if the explosion doesn't kill us, the avalanche will.
You got a better idea?
Yeah, I do. I say we ambush him with long-range rifles and silencers.
Long-range, that's a
yeah,
better
we can
idea.
Get him
much
close, Dad,
idea.
And then we can finish him off with Lynn's dagger.
Look, I'm sorry. I just don't put much faith in your girlfriend's magic dagger.
Okay, Dad, she is not my girlfriend.
You say that now, but I still don't trust her.
Well, I do. So you should trust my judgment, okay?
Look, kid, I put down more mummies in my time than you.
You put down one mummy, Dad.
Yeah, same mummy. Twice!
Below the Golden Tower.
Hand me the green wire, will you please?
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Of course, I've done this 100 times.
If the Emperor places the eye up there, all will be lost.
On top of the Golden Tower, there's a placement for the Eye. Yang's troops hurry through the falling snow and take up positions behind rocks. Rick and company hunker behind pillars at the steps. Han faces Yang. Clear a path to the Golden Tower. Prove yourself to me. Yang passes the Eye to Han, then spins around. He beckons the soldiers forward. At the steps, Rick takes aim at the soldiers.
Let's give a warm Okada welcome.
Yang glowers.
Hey, whoa! Fire!
The two sides exchange fire. Evelyn hits a soldier. The soldier falls into the ravine. Two more soldiers prepare bazookas. Rocket hits the entrance, destroying a pillar. Rick and Alex dodge the falling debris. A rocket whacks into another pillar. Yang leads a team of soldiers across the rope bridge spanning the ravine. The gang retreat up the steps.
No!
Rick and Alex pop out from cover and shoot the bazooka soldiers, whose weapons explode. Yang lurches forward. Rick and company head back into the courtyard and retreat past the Golden Tower. The soldiers creep up the steps.
Time to go to Plan B! Blow up the tower!
I'm actually a little bit concerned about Plan B. Could we go straight to Plan C?
Just make it go bang! I'll cover you!
Jonathan prepares a dynamite fuse.
Hey, let's go, go, go! Come on, come on!
Thank goodness.
Evelyn takes out another soldier with her rifle. Under fire, Jonathan runs, dropping his lighter in the snow. Rick shoots a soldier. Yang arrives in the courtyard. Set up a crossfire. Move it. Rick runs out of ammo. He ducks behind a wall next to Evelyn.
My last one.
Evelyn loads her rifle. Rick spots Lin at the gateway. Three gigantic white gorilla-like creatures charge through the snow and arrive at the gateway. Eyes wide, Rick takes aim.
Abominable snowman!
The Tibetans call him Yeti!
Lin approaches a Yeti.
Maya, Rochata!
Please, I need your help. These soldiers are evil.
She speaks Yeti!
The muscular, hairy Yetis run across the roof around the courtyard. The soldiers scan around. The Yetis leap into the courtyard. The Yetis toss the soldiers around. Shoot! Kill them! A Yeti bats a soldier away. Jonathan crawls towards the tower.
Why do I always have to save the day?
Out of ammo, Rick tries to wrest a gun from a soldier.
Get the other guy!
An oncoming soldier is shot. Then Rick takes control and leaps into the courtyard, where a soldier draws a sword. Rick grabs the soldier's arm, then stabs him with the sword. Lin dropkicks a soldier by the tower. A sniper aims at Lin from the walkway. The sniper's shot. Lin looks around. Evelyn lowers her rifle.
Trouble!
A soldier approaches. Lin grabs Evelyn's hands and bicycle kicks him to the ground. A Yeti drops from the roof nearby. The Yeti kicks the soldier up the backside and he flies over the gateway. Two Yetis celebrate. Alex finds Yang inside a temple dome. Alex punches Yang, who drops his gun, then spin kicks Alex, who cracks his head on the golden statue. Alex gets up, sneers, and lashes out. They trade blows, then Yang holds a foot at Alex's throat. Alex sinks to his knees.
You can die slow or you can die fast.
A Yeti leans through the doorway and drags Yang out by the scruff of the neck. Yang throws punches at the Yeti, who bowls him through the entrance and down the temple's steps, where he lands at Emperor Han's feet. Han proceeds up the steps. In the courtyard, Jonathan finds his lighter and lights the fuse.
I did it! Oh, man. I did it! Time for a retreat.
Jonathan turns. A Yeti towers before him, rubbing its furry chin.
I'm on your team! I'm a team player, one for all and all for me kind of thing!
The fuses burn.
The dynamite! All this dynamite! We should get out of here!
Han enters the courtyard. Rick and Alex open fire. Damaged by the shots, Han grips an icicle, then sharp stalagmites emerge from the ground in front of Alex and Rick.
Back off! Back off!
Run!
Stalagmites cover the courtyard. The gang flees. The three Yetis leap from the roof and roar at Han, who screams at them, waves of sound echoing from his mouth. The Yetis cover their ears and make a run for it past the gateway. Han spots the dynamite and causes an avalanche of snow, which extinguishes the lit fuses.
Ugh, I hate mummies! They never play fair!
Gripping the eye, Han approaches the Golden Tower and climbs its curving step dome. Rick marches over.
Dad! What are you doing?
Rick starts to climb the Golden Tower as Alex fires into the air.
Over here! Over here! Come on! Over here!
Han shoots a fireball at Alex, who runs for cover. Rick opens fire. Han grips the tower and the surface freezes. Rick slides down it and lands in the courtyard below. Rick runs as Han shoots another fireball. Han inserts the eye in the placement at the top of the Golden Tower. A dazzling ray of blue light shines from the eye and lights a path through the mountains. A subtitle, Shangri-La. Lin draws her knife as Jonathan watches, mouth agape.
That's a diamond.
The ray of light goes out.
I could use a diamond like that.
Alex primes a bundle of dynamite with a grenade, then leaps from cover to stand at the gateway. He unravels the fuse and swings the dynamite. Han hurls a sword at Alex. Rick dives across the courtyard and pushes Alex out of the way. The sword skewers Rick. The dynamite explodes nearby. Alex cradles Rick. Han has retrieved the sword.
Hold on, Ned! All right, please, go first round of the goddamn.
Sorry. We made tougher scrapes than this.
Huge chunks of snow and ice break from the mountaintop nearby.
Avalanche!
The vast rolling avalanche powers through the gorge towards the gateway. As Han raises his arms, the snow hits an invisible wall and piles up beyond the gateway. Lin leaps towards the tower, but Han throws his arms out and she catapults to the ground. The snow breaks free again. Han struggles to control it. A Yeti drops onto Lin and Evelyn and covers them up. Another Yeti drops onto Alex and the unconscious Rick. The avalanche barrels through the courtyard, overwhelming Han. Jonathan runs as snow crashes in behind him. The diamond is dislodged. The avalanche rips through the entrance and sweeps Yang over the edge. He grabs for the rope bridge. The power of the snow overwhelms Yang. Later, the snow has submerged much of the temple. A Yeti drags Jonathan out of the snow.
Yes! I've got it! And I'm still alive!
Two more help Lynn and Evelyn to the surface.
Help me, please! Somebody help me! We're over here! We're over here!
Alex!
Mom, get down here!
Alex!
We're over here!
As they dig with their hands, a Yeti smashes through the surface near the Golden Tower, revealing Alex and Rick.
Oh, God. We've got to take him to Shangri-La now. It's our only chance.
The Yetis accompany the injured Rick and the rest of the gang along a snowy trail through the mountains. Lynn strides into the wind at the front. Jonathan and Evelyn are next followed by two Yetis carrying Rick on a stretcher. Alex brings up the rear.
We made it!
Ahead of them is a cave in the side of the mountain. Leaving the Yetis, they arrive in a cavern. A vast statue of a sleeping Buddha stretches the length of the cavern. A raised pagoda stands next to the statue.
The pool!
They lower the stretcher. Alex runs down the steps. Ziyuan races towards Alex and draws her sword. Lin blocks the blow and kneels before Ziyuan.
Wuqing.
Mother.
Xiaobei.
My sweet daughter. Ziyuan beams and helps Lin to her feet. They embrace. I beg you, my father is dying. They are my friends.
Oh, please.
Within the pagoda lies a circular pool filled with glittering blue water and surrounded by lit candles. Rick lies at the edge, unconscious. Ziyuan drips water from a small vessel onto Rick's bloody wound. The wound heals. Rick starts to breathe and his eyes flicker open. Evelyn smiles as Rick falls back asleep. Brimming with tears, she turns to Ziyuan.
Thank you.
He must rest. We'll take him to my chamber.
As Ziyuan stands, her long flowing blue and gold sleeves sweep into view. General Yang climbs steadily up the broken rope bridge, hanging down into the ravine. Han breaks through the snow beneath him. Where are you going, General? Our destiny awaits. Yang carries on climbing. In the cavern.
Well, it's not everyone that gets their brother-in-law back from the dead. Yeah, give me my 80 years any day.
Jonathan stops. He stares ahead.
Is this Shangri-La?
Snowy mountains rise around a lush green landscape filled with golden buildings and waterfalls.
I could live here. Lots of opportunity. A casino.
Jonathan narrows his eyes and nods. In the cavern. I was wrong to involve you in my revenge. No, Mother. I would do anything for you. Ziyuan smiles and strokes her daughter's face. Alex arrives and shares a smile with Lin.
He's resting well. Thank you. How'd you get involved in all this?
The Emperor murdered the only man I ever loved. Lin's father. I would have died too by his hand. If the Yeti had not found me and brought me to this pool.
How did this all happen? This was before Christ.
Alex looks from Ziyuan to Lin.
How long have you gotten this to?
Over 2,000 years.
Ziyuan glares, and his smile fades.
The Emperor must never be allowed to reach the pool, or he will have the power to raise his army. And once he becomes immortal, he can transform himself into the most hideous creatures ever seen. I will take the first watch at the entrance.
Ziyuan hurries away with a brief backward glance. Alex and Lin loiter by the statue.
No, I have no problem dating an older woman.
I'm afraid we can't be together.
Why?
Because I'm gonna live forever. I don't want to watch you die.
So what, that's it? You're just gonna sit on the sidelines for eternity?
My mother has mourned my father for centuries. I don't know if my heart can bear it.
Alex smiles and looks into Lin's eyes.
People can live an entire lifetime in one look. I watch my parents do it every day.
He holds her face and she smiles.
Alex! Your father's awake! Get up here!
Jonathan, wearing a Fair Isle sweater, beckons Alex up to a chamber high in the cavern wall, where Rick lies in a wide bed with Evelyn, who cradles his head. His eyes cast about.
If this is heaven, it looks pretty good so far.
Muscular, bare-chested Rick shares a kiss with Evelyn.
Nice to see some things never change.
Rick looks around and smiles. Rick sits up on the side of the bed and examines the healed wound on his torso. There is a similar scar on his back. Evelyn hands Rick his jacket.
Go easy on him, he feels terrible.
Alex steps down towards Rick as he puts his jacket on.
When I saw you lying there, I've never been so scared in my life.
Well, that makes two of us.
I mean, you're not supposed to die, you know, you ricochet a comet, right? You get beat up, you get tossed around, but you always stand there in the end. I never really thought of the world without you.
Rick frowns, then looks at Alex.
Alex. The truth is, I'm just trying to... I'm trying to be a good husband, I'm trying to be a good parent, and the truth is, I've been dropping the ball lately, and I'm...
Well, you know, I ain't been the world's greatest son.
No, well, it's because you get it from her side of the family. Come here.
They embrace. Evelyn joins them.
My boys.
Lin and Ziyuan are alone. You look tired. You should rest. I'll stay. Fate is about to deal its final hand. If we are to defeat the Emperor, I must ask for one more sacrifice. Anything, Mother. Your immortality. Lin smiles. A fireball hurtles at them, throwing them through the air as it strikes the pagoda. Han and General Yang approach. The others watch from a high ledge.
Oh no! His powers have been fully restored.
Time to go.
They run. Han walks towards the pool. The magic dagger wobbles on the ground, then flies up into Han's hands. He smashes it against his chest. The terracotta encasing him falls away. Ziyuan tries to stand, but is thrown to the floor by an invisible force. Zombified Han glowers at Lin.
Let me be you.
General Ming's daughter, your child, will be mine. Han descends into the pool of eternal life and disappears into a searing bright light. Yang watches.
He is immortal.
Han's regenerated, youthful face appears within glittering lights. Two more identical faces appear. All three heads rear up on serpent-like necks as Han is transformed into a mighty three-headed fire-breathing dragon. Rick and the others race down to Han's level and run for cover as each of Han's three heads belch fire at them.
Ah, you three-headed shape-shifting son of a bitch!
Jonathan cowers in a recess. Han's vast lizard-like form slithers up out of the pool. Lin yelps as he collects her under one arm. Alex charges at Han, but is thrown aside by his powerful tail. Yang runs alongside Han, then leaps on his back and hitches a ride out of the cavern. Alex gets up and stares after them.
Alex!
Han drags his bulk through a cavernous tunnel and throws himself off the mountain. His magnificent wings unfold as he takes flight.
He's taking her back to his tomb to raise his army.
Is there a faster way down from here?
The Yeti, they'll help.
But he's already in the air, it'll be too late.
Mad Dog can outfly a three-headed lizard any day of the week, let's go.
Mad Dog pilots his plane over the brooding mountains with the gang on board.
Port side, 9 o'clock.
Rick and Alex look out through the side windows to see the silhouette of the huge dragon in flight.
Rick, should I quit drinking?
Rick shakes his head. Day, Mad Dog's plane flies through mist, leaving Rick and the others on the ground.
Jonathan to Rick, you better get a move on if you're gonna beat him to the tomb.
Yeah, just get back here as fast as you can at the reinforcements. No sightseeing.
Alex hands Rick an assault rifle.
Here, Dad.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Nice.
The Terracotta Army is not indestructible until it crosses the Great Wall. That's comforting. How exactly are we supposed to fend them off? When the Emperor built the wall, he buried his enemies underneath it and cursed their souls to hold it up for eternity. Most of them were conquered soldiers. I will call them to battle once again.
Unlock an altar, raise an army. That sounds like a plan. Let's go.
Han's winged shadow drifts over the dunes surrounding the archaeological dig. A uniformed Chinese soldier beats an oil drum to alert the troops in the military encampment. Choi smiles skyward. Han carves an arc through the sky as he descends towards the outpost. Rick, Evelyn, and Alex rise up behind rubble and peer through binoculars as Han drops Lin on the ground and lands. As Lin tries to run, soldiers grab her. Yang watches. Grab her! Guard her with your life!
Alex?
Alex has disappeared.
Where'd he go?
Where do you think?
Using the binoculars, Rick spots assault rifle toting Alex. Take cover behind a wall near the camp. Choi, General Yang, and the troops stand to attention as Han lands on the stone statue and resumes human form. He draws his sword and holds it aloft. Awake! A huge rectangular area of ground collapses, forming a ramp. All about the dusty plain, similar portions of the earth fall away, unleashing the mighty Terracotta Army. Dusty brown soldiers march into the light, their pikes pointing skywards. The hordes march in formation as great swaths of them pour out onto the plain. Amongst them, standard bearers march holding their flagpoles high. The Emperor Han stands with his sword outstretched, watching his army. Han's horse rises from the earth, and the terracotta encasing it shatters. Rick and Evelyn move out with guns drawn as Zi Yuan runs for the Great Wall. Rick and Evelyn pop up behind a wall. The army halts and turns to face Han on his statue. In the dimly lit underground mausoleum, Zi Yuan ascends a flight of steps, carrying the hefty book of oracle bones. Emperor Han scurries across the shoulder of his giant stone likeness. Zi Yuan flings the oracle bones in the air. The pages of the tome unfold, concertina-like, and hang in a crescent shape in midair. Han gazes out over his minions. Today, you awake to a world in the grip of chaos and corruption.
Open the gates of the past and free the souls of the wrongfully damned.
I will restore order. I will retake what is mine. I will crush any idea of freedom.
In the name of the ancestors and the righteous, I sacrifice my immortality and that of my daughter so that you may rise this day.
I will slaughter without mercy. I will conquer without compassion. I will now lead you past the Great Wall. Once you cross, you will be indestructible.
Bring down the wrath of the oppressed on this emperor and all who follow him.
I raised you for one purpose, to enforce my will on the entire world. Long live the emperor.
I call upon the hundreds and the thousands that you may rise up and seize this moment to take your victory, to take your justice, and to take your revenge.
Embedded in the earthen walls before her are hundreds of human skeletons. The wall crumbles as they come to life and struggle free. An enormous fissure opens up alongside the ruins of the Great Wall. Han's expression hardens.
Ziyuan.
Ziyuan. Rick and Evelyn rise as thousands of undead Foundation Army warriors swarm out of the crack in the earth. A soldier cries. It's General Ming. Follow General Ming. Prepare for battle. Han's horse rears. Rick spins around to train his gun on the swarming Foundation Army. He and Evelyn are surrounded.
These are, they're good undead guys, right?
General Ming runs at them.
Ziyuan sent us.
Do you think he speaks English?
What's Ziyuan?
Ziyuan.
The skeletal Foundation Army stampede forward, screaming, to battle. Rick and Evelyn run with them. Disguised as a Chinese soldier, Alex takes out two genuine soldiers with the butt of his gun, then sneaks into a tent where Lin lies bound and gagged. He shushes her as he frees her, a zombified Ming. Freedom! 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 Archers, form up! Han's archers aim their bows.
Incoming!
Fire! Arrows rain down, skewering members of the Foundation Army. An arrow pins Rick's shirt sleeve to a rock as he and Evelyn take cover.
That is my favorite blue shirt.
I always hated that shirt.
Unscathed, Foundation Army soldiers pull the arrows from each other's bodies. One of the men accidentally takes a fellow soldier's head off with his shovel, then hurries to reattach it. Ming glares over the battlefield at Han, who cries out,
"Big woman!
Death to General Ming!" Han gallops forward. Charge! Ming's hordes surge forward across the dusty plain on a collision course with Han's terracotta warriors.
Welcome to the 20th century!
Rick and Evelyn gun down terracotta soldiers. Their limbs shatter as they're felled. The rocks shielding Rick and Evelyn from attack are riddled with arrows. Ming gestures with his sword. Attack their right flank! The Foundation Army veer to their left in an arrow formation. The vanguard of the Terracotta Army advance with their long pikes pointed out in front of them. The two armies collide in a frenzied sea of warring bodies. A skeleton leaps at Han. Han hacks it down, then lops the heads off two more skeletal soldiers. Ziyuan draws a sword. In the compound, Lin flying kicks a Chinese soldier off a motorbike. She lands as Alex flying kicks another soldier off his motorbike and lands sideways across the seat and sidecar. Lin and Alex straddle the two bikes and tear through the camp. Han jumps from his horse and somersaults through the war zone. He runs towards Ziyuan and they clash swords. She bends backwards. His sword passes over her. They block each other's blades. Han ducks, and Ziyuan slices part of his ponytail off. Their swords meet, and Han pushes her. She somersaults backwards. He swipes at her, but misses. Han attacks and inflicts a sweeping gash across her stomach. Bleeding, she falls to her knees. You are no longer immortal. Han leaps at her and strikes. She blocks his attack, then lunges, then avoids his blade by spinning through the air. Ziyuan raises her sword to fight, but Han slices her blade down the center. He wrenches it from her grip and throws it aside. She holds his blade back with her bare hands, then allows it to plunge into her chest. As Han pushes her over a sheer drop, she snatches the magic dagger from a scabbard on his belt. Rick and Evelyn hold off the army with gunfire. Axes are hurled at them.
Come in! Fall back to higher ground!
Rick throws a grenade. As he and Evelyn retreat, they pick off more terracotta soldiers. A legless soldier scuttles towards them on his belly.
Shut up, Clay Boy!
He knocks its head off.
Run!
They beat a retreat up sandy steps. Evelyn dispatches enemy soldiers with a pistol in each hand. They both run out of ammo, discard their guns, and pick up swords from the ground. Rick and Evelyn stand back to back.
Next time I say we've been in tougher scrapes than this, I mean this!
Warriors surround them. One knocks the sword from Rick's hand. Evelyn fends off attackers, shattering their clay bodies with swift, decisive blows. Rick grabs a soldier's spear as it lunges at him, then obliterates it with one swipe. He impales two more on the spear, then caves their heads in. Two planes attack. Jonathan fires from one of their doors.
Die, you mummy bastards! Die!
There is no call for bad language!
Jonathan certainly knows how to make an entrance.
They swing their swords. Han transforms into a hairy, muscular beast and flings Foundation soldiers into the air as he bounds across the battlefield. Leaping skyward, Han grabs a swooping plane and drags it to the ground. Its wings and flaming fuselage plow through warring soldiers. Evelyn leans on Rick's shoulder.
Any regrets, darling?
Soldiers have their heads blown off. It's Alex and Lynn, firing from the motorbikes.
You okay?
Yeah, sure. No problem.
We had it completely under control.
Han returns to human form.
This guy ever run out of tricks?
Choi fires at Mad Dog's plane from a moving Jeep. Jonathan shoots back, then clings on for dear life as the plane turns. Han enters the Foundation chamber under the Great Wall. Lynn spots Ziyuan. Lynn runs to her.
Mother!
Ziyuan drags herself up a sandy slope on her belly. Lynn drops to her knees beside her and cradles Ziyuan's head in her arms. Ziyuan takes out the dagger. She offers it to Lynn.
Here's through his heart.
Lynn begins to sob. The others look on as Ziyuan's eyes close and her body goes limp. Evelyn's gloved hand removes the dagger from Ziyuan's grip. She stands and holds it out to Rick.
She said through the heart.
Through the heart. Let's go.
Han walks through the huge, dimly lit Foundation chamber. Giant cogs turn on enormous timber structures. Above ground, Choi pulls up in the Jeep. She calls to Yang. Get in! The O'Connells are going to stop the Emperor! Han strides towards a flight of steps within the mausoleum. He gestures at lamps and they ignite. Rick rides a motorbike with Alex on the back.
Sit down! What's the plan?
Divide and conquer!
No offense, but isn't that a little short on detail?
12 o'clock low! My God!
Choi follows with Yang, firing rounds from the mounted machine gun. In Mad Dog's plane.
Remember our deal! When this is over, my man gets a drink for free!
You get the whole damn bar for all I care! I'm getting the hell out of China!
Jonathan tosses a bomb from the plane. It hits Troy's Jeep, and the Jeep explodes. Han stares unblinking as he raises his arms. Five globes, one of them on fire, spin in the space between his hands. Ming and his army are suddenly swept backwards. Han's warriors remain unaffected. Alex and Rick sneak into the chamber behind Han. The spinning globes are shot to pieces. Han turns. Alex.
Don't you see why one did you light
up? I dug you up, and I'm gonna put you down. Ming and his soldiers rise again and attack. Furious, Han leaps at Alex, transforming into the massive hairy beast. He sweeps Alex aside. Rick appears and pulls the magic dagger. He leaps onto Han and stabs him in the shoulder. Han throws Rick off, but the dagger remains embedded in his skin. Rick runs over to an unconscious Alex. Blood pours from Alex's nose. Han returns to his human form, wrenches the dagger from his shoulder, and hurls it at Rick. Rick dives across the chamber. The magic dagger hits a statue and breaks into two pieces. Lin and Evelyn head past the cogs and gears. Bloody-faced Yang attacks from above. Yang kicks out with both feet. Evelyn drops her gun and Lin falls to the ground. Yang pushes Evelyn against the turning gear. Lin kicks him in the back and he falls. Yang rises and gains the upper hand, then pushes Lin's face against the wall. Lin backheels Yang in the groin and he drops. A battered and bloodied Choi stalks past the turning gears. Lin climbs to a higher axle and jump kicks Yang, who falls between two crunching gears. Choi grabs his arm. The gears consume them both.
Enough tricks! Where's your honor?
Rick beckons Han over.
Fight like a man!
Han narrows his eyes as Rick races towards him. Han evades Rick's blows and delivers brutal counterblows, including elbows to the face and a kick to the groin. Rick stumbles and wavers as Alex comes to nearby. Han pummels Rick. Han decks Rick with a flying kick. Alex slips into the water beneath a turning gear. One half of the dagger is missing from the floor nearby. Han kicks Rick in the stomach. Rick slides through the dirt and spits out blood.
Fight. It conquers.
Rick grabs the remaining part of the dagger by the handle and gets up. He lands two headbutts on Han, who stumbles backwards. Alex makes his way through the water, the blade between his teeth. Rick goes for Han with the broken dagger, but Han twists and grabs Rick's wrist. Alex leaps from above and stabs Han in the back as Rick drives the dagger into Han's heart. Rick withdraws the dagger. The two parts have melded together. Molten lava leaks from Han's breastplate as Han reaches out grimacing. Lin and Evelyn rush over and cling to their men.
Now you can rule. In hell.
Han's cheeks blister. Rick, Evelyn, Alex, and Lin run as he writhes in pain. Lava spurts from his eyes, and great jets of it issue from his chest wound. His body ablaze. Han explodes. Above ground, the Terracotta warriors crumble to dust. General Ming and the Foundation army gaze around at the scene. Ming calls out.
Wong Diesela!
The Emperor is dead. The Emperor is dead. Lin and the O'Connells emerge from the underground chamber. Ming's army cheers and waves. Lin and Ming share a look as he and the soldiers turn to dust and are swept up in a sudden gust of wind. The dust rises on the breeze, accumulating into a dark cloud over the plain. At Jonathan's nightclub, a glamorous Chinese singer performs on stage. Wearing Jonathan's blue silk jacket, Mad Dog struts across the dance floor. Far too
sure. Evening, girls. You're looking well.
Good evening, Mr. McGuire. In my
eyes, you it's a fine night to be made.
You dance great for an old lady.
Someone told me to stop living on the sidelines.
Well, he sounds like a smart guy.
He is.
Lynn wraps her red gloved hands around Alex's neck as they kiss. Rick dances with Evelyn.
So I guess Dash and Scarlet have the next adventure.
Why write about it when you can live it? There's something incredibly romantic about vanquishing the undead.
Even more romantic doing it with you.
Touch, scorch,
kiss.
You don't have to ask me twice.
Rick and Evelyn share a long kiss. Carrying a wicker case, Jonathan stumbles out of the club. A doorman in a fez tries to take it.
No, don't touch it.
Where are you off to, Mr. Carnahan?
Someplace where they don't have mummies.
Step on it, I've got a plane to catch.
Yes, sir.
Chow chow, Shanghai. Peru, here I come.
He takes the eye of Shangri-La from the case and holds it against his cheek. Text appears. Soon after, mummies were found in Peru. Titles appear. Directed by Rob Cohen. Written by Alfred Gow and Miles Millar. Produced by Stephen Summers, Bob Duxay. Produced by Sean Daniel, James Jacks. Executive producer Chris Brigham. Executive producers Ren Zongloon, Huang Zhangjing. Director of Photography, Simon Dugan, ACS. Production Designer, Nigel Phelps. Edited by Joel Negrin, Kelly Matsumoto. Brendan Fraser, Jet Li, Maria Bello, John Hanna, Luke Ford, Chow Sang, Anthony Wong. Isabella Leone, Liam Cunningham, David Calder, Russell Wong, and Michelle Yao. Casting by Rona Kress, CSA. Music by Randy Adelman. Costume designer, Sonia Milkovic-Hayes. A Universal Pictures presentation in association with Shanghai Film Group Corporation and Beijing Happy Pictures Cultural Communications Co. Ltd. in association with Relativity Media. An Alphaville Summers Company production, a Rob Cohen film. Second Unit Director Vic Armstrong. Unit Production Managers, Chris Brigham, Josette Perota. First Assistant Director, P.J. Votan. Second Assistant Director, Bethan Mowat. Credits roll.
into my lap you fell, like an angel straight from heaven. Came into my life as a sweet surprise, and through my eyes you had no disguise, but in my arms you lost paradise.
Copyright 2008, Universal Studios and Internationale Film Production, Blackbird Verité GmbH & Co. KG. All rights reserved. Animated Universal Studios logo, copyright 1997, Universal Studios. Country of first publication, United States of America. Universal Studios is the author of this motion picture. For the purposes of the Berne Convention and all national laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Supervised by China Film Co. Production Corporation. Thank you. This film has been described by Deluxe, with funding by Universal. Voice by Jedediah Barton. The shadow of a plane passes over a desert's rippling sand. The biplane soars over dunes and becomes silhouetted by the low sun. A square forms around the image and words appear, Sommer's Company. A block letter A stands out against the gray background. The word Alphaville appears over it in black.